Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 12th chapter, verses 32 to 43. Sacha Swalokamaraksham Sunitim Jananim Chava Ambasvararagam Vipvadinam Yasetivishtakam. Translation: Dhruva was seated in the transcendental airplane, which was just about to start. When he remembered his poor mother, Suniti, he thought to himself, "How shall I go alone to the Vaikuntha planet and leave behind my poor mother?" Lokam karati vachanam bandham vayate vidhim yakripam tamaham mande shikuram vinacharyam om adhyanatumiranyasya dhyananjara sharakaya Chakshumiritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Sityatanya managustam stapitam yena bhutale Shayam rupa karavayam bhakti saparam bhutam Namaham Vishnu padaya kishabhisaya bhutale Shimate bhakti viranta samiti namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisheshashunyavade Krishnapadishitarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasri Gauravakurinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama So after ruling the kingdom for 36,000 years, Dhruva Maharaj renounced it and went to Bhadrikashrama to practice yoga. So he was engaged in the Ashtanga yoga practice. And what was his meditation while he was engaged in yoga practice? Yes? The Archimurti form of the Lord. Despite the fact that he was a realized yogi, he was not meditating on the Lord in the heart. He was meditating on the deities in the temple. So this then, after his meditation progressed, he began to manifest symptoms of ecstasy. And as soon as he manifested these transcendental symptoms, an airplane from Vaikuntha descended before him to take him back to Godhead. But in his confusion, he forgot how to receive the Vishnu Dutas. So all he could remember was the holy name. So he began to receive them by chanting the holy name of the Lord. And of course, the holy name is everything. There's nothing more to be had in all the 14 words, worlds, except the holy name. So the associates said, "Please come with us. We have come just to take you back to the spiritual world." And Dhruva Maharaj, he didn't immediately go on the airplane. Before he went on the airplane, he took his morning bath, he put on his tilak, he did all his morning duties, and then he circumambulated the plane, he offered obeisances to the plane, and last but not least, what did he do?
He offered obeisances to all the Vaishnavas.
Yes, he took the blessings of all the Vaishnavas before he went on the airplane. So he was not proud that, "Oh, the airplane has come to take me back to Godhead, and all you guys have to wait." No, he took blessings from the Vaishnavas. Then he boarded the airplane, stepping on the head of death. So another point is that Yamaraj came to get the dust of Dhruva's lotus feet. So this shows how there is no death for the devotee. There is no death. So then, as soon as he left this world, his first thought was of his poor mother who had helped him in spiritual life, his Pata Pradarshika Guru, his mother, Suniti. So she had encouraged him to take shelter of the Lord. So he desired that his mother also go with him back to Godhead. Now in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that this incident proves something about the devotee. What does this prove? Sankirtana. Yes. Yes, whatever the devotee desires, the Lord fulfills. This is a very, very important point for us in our advancement of spiritual life. that we get the blessings of pure devotee. So paragraph 2, Srila Prabhupada says, whatever plan the Supreme Personality of Godhead contemplates immediately fructifies. Similarly, a devotee who is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord can also fulfill his wishes by the grace of the Lord. The Lord fulfills his wishes independently, but a devotee fulfills his wishes simply by being dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj thought of his poor mother, he was assured by the associates of Vishnu that Suniti was also going to Vaikuntha Loka in another plane. Dhruva Maharaj had thought that he was going alone to Vaikuntha Loka, leaving behind his mother, which was not very auspicious, because people would criticize him for going alone to Vaikuntha Loka and not carrying with him Suniti, who had given him so much. But Dhruva also considered that he was not personally the supreme. Therefore, if Krishna fulfilled his desires, only then would it be possible. So when Srila Prabhupada was here, and Srila Prabhupada was very sick, then Srila Prabhupada gave us a prayer to pray to Krishna for his welfare. And the prayer said to Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. So the devotee doesn't demand if he wants something, but he says, oh, if you desire, then let it happen. So that was the prayer that Srila Prabhupada gave to us to chant. And we were also doing 24-hour kirtan at the time, and also saying that prayer to Krishna. So here Prabhupada says, Krishna could immediately understand his mind, and he told Dhruva that his mother was also going with him. This incident proves that a pure devotee like Dhruva Maharaj can fulfill all his desires. By the grace of the Lord, he becomes exactly like the Lord, and thus, whenever he thinks of anything, his wish is immediately fulfilled. In Sanskrit, Adi Purush, is this Satya Sankalpa? Or is this some... Yeah, Satya Sankalpa. Satya Sankalpa. What's another example of a devotee who desired something and it was fulfilled immediately? Yes. Yes, there was a Brahmin and he was doing his puja mentally. And he immediately went to Vaikuntha. Yes, he was burned by the sweet rice. Any other examples? How a devotee's desire is immediately fulfilled? Yes.
The mangala was told that renowned trees and vines fulfill all the desires.
Madhu mangala.
Desired for a lover. And immediately someone came to betray a lover.
So Madhu mangala desired for a ladu from the desire trees. Yes, some ladus. And immediately someone came with a tray full of ladus. Yes, these are examples of how Krishna fulfills the desires of the devotee immediately. Even we can experience that if we live in Vrindavan for some time. You have any little small desire, Krishna fulfills it. Even the dust of Vrindavan can fulfill your desires. So therefore, we say every day, Vanchikappa tirupyascha pipasindavyevacha patitanam pavanevya vaishnavevya namo. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, because they fulfill desires of everyone just like desire trees and full of compassion for the fallen souls. So the devotees can give you whatever you want. The desires of a devotee must be fulfilled. And the words of the devotee must be fulfilled. What are some examples where the words of the devotee, yes? Yes, Krishna says, Kaunteya patijanihi name bhakta pranashti. Because Krishna knows that people may not believe him if he says it. Because sometimes Krishna breaks his promise. So therefore he told Arjuna, you say it. You say it for me, and people will believe it. What's an example in this lila of Dhruva Maharaj, where the words of a devotee must be fulfilled? There was an example, yeah. Yeah, his mother told him, surrender to Krishna and you will get what you want. That's one example. There's another example in this Leela. Yes. Yes, Narada. Narada said what? To who? He said to Dhruva, you'll get everything you want. Prashanta.
Yes.
He desired revenge. That was fulfilled. His mother and his stepmother and his brother died. Yes. Yes. Narada told Uttanapad, your son is very successful. Don't worry about your son. And Uttanapad believed Narada's words. He says, yes, a pure devotee's words must come true. So these are examples. And in later on in this canto, 4:22, Prabhupada says in a purport, when the Lord makes a prediction, he fulfills that prediction through some of his devotees. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted both his glorious names and Hare Krishna Mahamantra would be broadcast in all the towns and villages of the world. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada desired to fulfill this great prediction, and we are following in their footsteps. So these are examples of how the Lord makes a prediction and he fulfills it through his devotees. Prabhupada says the Lord himself promises sometimes, and his confidential devotees execute the promise. Yes. Yes, when he was sitting in the park bench in New York City, he was talking to one man, and he said, there's many temples, but simply time is separating. And it was predicted in his chart, actually, that he would open, Srila Prabhupada's chart said he would have open 108 temples. So this prediction is fulfilled. So the Lord promises, devotees execute the promise. So this is the purpose of ISKCON and the purpose of our lives, too. The Lord has made some predictions, the Lord has made some promises, and Srila Prabhupada has made some promises also. And we're meant to fulfill those predictions and those promises in our lives. So Srila Prabhupada was also a very good example of a devotee whose desires were fulfilled. What desires did Prabhupada have that Krishna fulfilled? Yes. Yes, so the first thing was to carry out the order of his spiritual master to preach. Yes, Sankirtan? Rathiyatra, yes, Rathiyatra. Yes, Adi Purusha. Yes, Juhu, yes. He desired, as soon as he saw the Juhu land in Bombay, he said, this would be a very nice place for a temple. So that desire was fulfilled. So these are the examples of how the devotee's desires are immediately fulfilled. Yes, he had to fight for that one. But it was fulfilled. Actually, against impossible odds. Impossible odds, actually. If you see, the sales agreement was cancelled, and so many things. And the devotees were put in jail, and so many things happened just to get that land secured and build that temple. So verse 33... the great associates of Vaikuntha Loka, Nanda and Sunanda, could understand the mind of Dhruva Maharaj, and thus they showed him that his mother Suniti was going forward in another plane. Purport. This incident proves that the Shiksha or Diksha Guru, who has a disciple who strongly executes devotional service like Dhruva Maharaj, can be carried by the disciple even though the instructor is not as advanced. So that's a very significant statement we can meditate on. Sometimes it happens. The instructor guru is not as advanced as the disciple. May happen sometimes. So Prabhupada says, there, in that case, the disciple will carry the guru back to Godhead. Although Suniti was an instructor to Dhruva Maharaj, she could not go to the forest because she was a woman, nor could she execute austerities and penances as Dhruva Maharaj did. Still, Dhruva Maharaj was able to take his mother with him. Similarly, Prahlada Maharaj also delivered his atheistic father, Hiranyakashipu. The conclusion is that a disciple or an offspring who is a very strong devotee can carry with him to Vaikuntha Loka, either his father, mother, or Shiksha or Diksha Guru. So this is very interesting because many devotees, they come to Krishna consciousness, but the person who brought them to Krishna consciousness may not come themselves, may not become devotees. That they show them the path, but then they themselves may not be able to follow the path. So in that case, the devotee who actually follows the principles can bring those people back to Godhead. Yes. Unless you have something you cannot give to somebody else.
Unless the Diksha Guru has Krishna prema, it's foolish.
Yes. Yes, even Diksha, even Shiksha. So that gives great hope to any of you who are teachers or instructors. Your students can take you back to Godhead also. If you're giving Shiksha to somebody and you have in your class some very advanced students. So that's my hope. I have some very advanced students in my class. So therefore, they will remember me when I'm dying. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could perfectly deliver even one soul back home, back to Godhead, I would think my mission, propagating Krishna consciousness, to be successful. The Krishna conscious movement is spreading now all over the world, and sometimes I think that even though I am crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, and he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha Loka. So here is Srila Prabhupada revealing his heart and his mind that he wanted, and he said many times, I want one moon. If I can just make one moon, then it will be wonderful. So I have a little excerpt here from this book. This is Srila Prabhupada in Australia. And Prabhupada says something like this. He's having a conversation with a professor, and Prabhupada is saying that devotees have no worries for their future. Krishna consciousness is so nice. If you're immediately successful or not, still you'll get benefit. If you're unsuccessful, you'll be born in a family of righteous people. And if successful, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. So then the professor asked Srila Prabhupada, what's going to happen to you in the next life? And so Prabhupada said, oh, my life? According to Shastra, if we have actually developed Krishna consciousness, we are going to Krishna. Then he smiled and he showed his disciples. He said, I may not go, but they will go. So this is Srila Prabhupada. Because he has to come back here for us so that we go back to Godhead. So he may not go, but he'll send us back. So that's the attitude, just like Prahlad Maharaj said. He said that, I don't want to get liberated alone without these fools and rascals. I want to take them back to Godhead with me. So, verse 34. While Dhruva Maharaj was passing through space, he gradually saw all the planets of the solar system. And on the path, he saw the demigods in their airplanes showering flowers upon him like rain. So remember the parades? We were talking about parades in this world and how people throw paper, ticker tape parades. So here in this, Dhruva was going on a procession back to Godhead in his airplane, and the demigods were throwing flowers. And paragraph 2, there's a very significant purport again. Like, it's about 2 lines down, paragraph 2. Like Sri Suniti, every mother should train her child to become a devotee, like Dhruva Maharaj. Suniti instructed her son, even at the age of 5 years, to be unattached to worldly affairs and to go to the forest to search out the Supreme Lord. She never desired that her son remain at home comfortably without ever undertaking austerities and penances to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every mother, like Suniti, must take care of her son and train him to become a brahmachari from the age of 5 years and to undergo austerities and penances for a spiritual realization. The benefit will be that if her son becomes a strong devotee like Dhruva, certainly not only will he be transferred back home, back to Godhead, but she will also be transferred with him to the spiritual world. even though she may be unable to undergo austerities and penances in executing devotional service. So in this magazine, there is a realization. I read a little bit of this before, of one mother, Indian mother, who had two devotee sons. So her realizations are very, very poignant, because she actually has died since she wrote this article. She's left her body of cancer. But she had all these realizations before she left. So she had, when she first heard that she got cancer, she decided, I'm going to commit suicide, because it's so painful now and it's just going to become worse. So then her sons were very alarmed when they heard that she wanted to commit suicide. So then they preached to her. She talks about it. In gentle yet firm words, they told me, suicide would not solve my problems. Rather, it would aggravate them. They explained how all suffering comes from our past deeds and cannot be avoided by artificial means. They cautioned me, my trying to escape my destined suffering through suicide would only postpone the suffering to my next life. Besides that, reaction to the sinful act of destroying one's own body by suicide only adds to future suffering. It was better, they told me, take shelter of Lord Krishna through devotional service, tolerate the suffering, seeing it as his mercy, become purified, return back home, back to Godhead, never to take birth again in this world of suffering. They reassured me that prayerful remembrance of the Lord would provide me relief from pain even in this life. I was stunned to hear such profound philosophy from the sons I had nourished with my own breast milk. But soon the truth and wisdom in their words entered my heart, and I became filled with new hope. I resolved to spend the rest of my life cultivating devotional remembrance of Krishna. So then what happened? They moved into the Pune temple. Pune temple, I heard there's something like only two rooms, but the brahmachari, and like so many brahmacharis, they gave them one room to this couple, husband and wife. And as soon as she moved in the temple, all her pain went away. So then she thought, well, I'm better now. Then they moved out again. And as soon as she moved out, all her pain came back. So then she moved back into the temple again. She said, no, when she moved out, she said, I felt like I was being pierced from within at 1,000 places. No amount of painkillers helped. Whenever I returned to the temple, my pain subsided. So just like her sons told her, the pain went away. So then the last realization, this is her final realization. Generally, when a young son renounces the world to serve God, his parents in particular, especially Indian parents, and people in general are shocked at what they consider to be irresponsibility and escapism. I was no exception to such sentiments. My anguish was in fact much greater, because not one but two of my sons decided to forsake everything for the Lord's service. But now, on the verge of death, when the futility of all material achievement stands exposed before me and the inestimable value of devotional service is dawning upon me, I realize how wise my sons were in dedicating their life to the service of the Lord in the prime of their youth. During my sickness, my two devotee sons carefully attended to my needs, arranging for me to come and stay in the temple with them, cooking for me, accompanying me to the hospital, and taking turns in serving me. Whenever I was in pain or distress, they were always there by my side to support and encourage me. They did all a faithful son can be expected to do for his mother. But over and above caring for my body, they cared for the real me, the soul. They provided me with spiritual knowledge and devotional practices, which saved me from unbearable bodily pain and brought me indescribable inner happiness. I therefore feel that what they have done for me is far more than what an ordinary son can ever do for his mother. So that's the realization of a mother who had devotee sons. And she has since left her body, but she took initiation and everything from Radhana Swami before she died. So quite amazing. The title of the article, How My Cancer Became a Blessing. So usually Indian mothers are horrified when their sons become devotees. That, oh, then they've left me, I've lost them. But here's a mother who's realized actually what has happened when the sons become devotees. So verse 35. Dhruva Maharaj thus surpassed the seven planetary systems of the great sages who are known as Saptarshi. Beyond that region, he achieved the transcendental situation of permanent life in the planet where Lord Vishnu lives. So purport. The airplane was piloted by the two chief associates of Lord Vishnu, namely Sunanda and Nanda. Only such spiritual astronauts can pilot their airplane beyond the seven planets and arrive in the region of eternal blissful life. Verse 36. The self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light, cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planets. So the qualification. So who is qualified to go back to Vaikuntha then, if this is the case? Yes. Who is preaching? The preacher is qualified to go back to Godhead. Yes. This says here, right in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the paragraph 2 of the purport, Prabhupada says, a Krishna conscious being is always engaged in planning how to take all of suffering humanity back home, back to Godhead. Even if one is not successful in reclaiming all the fallen souls back to Godhead, still, because he is Krishna conscious, his path to Vaikuntha Loka is open. He personally becomes qualified to enter the Vaikuntha Lokas, and if anyone follows such a devotee, he also enters into Vaikuntha Loka. So the karmis, why don't they go back to Godhead? What's their problem?
Envy.
Envy, yes. Yes. They have not met devotees. Yes, that's a problem. And also envy. Prabhupada's karmis are envious of one another. They can kill thousands of innocent animals. So what's the problem with gyanis? They don't kill. Usually they're very non-violent. And why can't they go back to Godhead? Selfish. Yes. What's the selfishness of the gyanis? What? They only want their own liberation. They don't care. They let the rest of the world go to hell, but I'm going back to Godhead. So that is there. Yes, in Kirtan.
But we see them,
they're also preaching. Yes. Well, Prabhupada says, they perform austerities for their own liberation. And there are, well, there's these people. Well, I think more about the yogis. Actually, they're up in the Himalayas meditating. Yes. Oh, okay. So according to Vanamali Prabhu, the gyanis are preaching for money to maintain their math, not to for others to become gyanis. They give some advice, they give some preaching, but not that the others should do it as they are doing, but they should keep making money and give it to them, right? That's the preaching of the gyanis. All right, the yogis. So the yogis, Prabhupada says, are also engaged in self-aggrandizement by trying to attain mystic powers. But devotees, Vaishnavas, who are servants of the Lord, come forward in the actual field of work in Krishna consciousness to reclaim fallen souls. Only Krishna conscious persons are eligible to enter into the spiritual world. So Prabhupada said this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Where is that confirmed? Bhagavad Gita. Last chapter, yeah. Yes. You know it? Yairam, is it? Yairam? Yes. Yairam paramam guyam madbhakte shabirashti. So those who are preaching, they are qualified. They will get devotional service, Krishna says, and they will come to me. So the mood of the devotee is exemplified by Prahlad Maharaj. He says, if this is 7, 9, 44, 43, one of those verses. Payena deva munaya swami mukti kama manam charanti vijane na paratta nishta naitan vihaya kipanan vimamuksha ekha nayatarasya sharanam gamata nupashe. My dear Lord Nishingadev, I see there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. So here at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, oh no, not at the end, we already read the end of this purport. The end of the purport in the seventh canto, Prabhupada says, the members of the Krishna conscious movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in Himalayas, where one will only make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna conscious movement is interested in going door to door, try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, as it is, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. So what are some other purposes of the Hare Krishna movement besides going door to door? Yeah. Yes. Creating good association. That is the purpose of ISKCON, and that is the purpose of our study here, is to relish Srimad Bhagavatam in association of devotees, to create the atmosphere of good association. Any other purpose for your life or for ISKCON? That's a nice purpose. In fact, all of the devotees, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, they all pray, let's just give me association of devotees. This is all I want. So now we've got it. So let us be appreciative of that. Verse 37. Yeah, 37 is up here also. So you can see it as a mind map. Shanta samadhi shashita sarabhutanaranjana indanjasa chita padamma chutta priyabandhava. Persons who are peaceful, equipoised, cleansed and purified, who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with devotees of the Lord. They alone can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. So here's more qualifications for going back to Godhead very easily. If anyone wants to go easily and quickly, develop these qualities. Shanta, peaceful. So how is a devotee peaceful? What are some verses that describe how a devotee is peaceful? Shakaliya Shanta. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, Shakaliya Shanta. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami, Shakaliya Shanta. Oh, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, Ata Eva Shanta. Yes. Mahantaste Samachita Prashanta. It's
552.
For him, the doors of liberation open. He's Prashanta. Yes. He is Prashanta, peaceful. Devotee is peaceful. Yeah. Bhaktaram yagitapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhiram sarvaktanam gatvamam shantim vichati. Yes, Sariprush. Sasantim, which verse is that? 270. 271. That he is actually peaceful. He has no desire. He has no desire for possessions. Free from desire. He is peaceful. So these are, what does Srila Prabhupada say? Only devotees are eligible to enter the kingdom of God. The first point stated is devotees are peaceful for they have no demands for their personal sense gratification. They are simply dedicated to the service of the Lord. So just like Vanamali Prabhu said about Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, karmis cannot be peaceful because they have immense demands for sense gratification. Gyanis cannot be peaceful. They're too busy trying to attain liberation or merge. And yogis are restless to get mystic power. Devotee is peaceful because he's fully surrendered and he thinks himself completely helpless. Just as a child feels complete peace and depending on a parent, so a devotee is completely peaceful for he depends on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like if you're the son of a very rich man, then automatically you don't have to worry for money. So if we are actually understanding our relationship with Krishna, then we don't have a problem. We just depend on Krishna to take care of us. So the next point, samadrisha equipoised. How does Shastra state that the devotee is equipoised? Which verse? Vidya vinaya sampane. That's more like seeing equally. That would be the next one. Sarabhuta naranjana, pleasing to all. Okay. Yadricha labha santushta dandatita vimatsara. Yeah. Yasmin sarvani bhutani. Sri Ishal 7. Yes, actually you are right, Vanamali. Yes, he sees everyone equally. That's what Prabhupada says in the purport. Ah, thank you. Krishna's mercy. Somebody must have desired the lights to come on. The devotee's desire is fulfilled. So, he sees all living entities equally, samadrisha, equipoise, seeing equally. Yes, his vision is equal. Again, purport after purport, Prabhupada talks about ISKCON and the purpose of ISKCON. Here again, such qualities develop only in association of devotees. Without association of devotees, one cannot advance to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have established International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Factually, whoever lives in this society automatically develops Krishna consciousness. Devotees are dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Supreme Personality of Godhead is only dear to devotees. On this platform only, one can make progress in Krishna consciousness. So that's the purpose of our society, is to have this association, which everyone is hankering for. Next quality, sarva-bhuta niranjana. Persons in Krishna consciousness can please everyone. As evident in Krishna consciousness movement, we invite everyone without discrimination, request everyone sit down, chant Hare Krishna, take as much prasad as we can supply, and thus everyone is pleased with us. This is the qualification, sarva-bhuta niranjana. So how is Srila Prabhupada pleasing to everyone? What? By giving Krishna consciousness. He is pleasing to everyone. Yes. Sometimes he would call them rascal and fool. But even though he said, I'm not doing, Krishna is saying. Yes. Yes, six loving exchanges. Right, there's an exchange there. So that's the purpose. So again, I have a little excerpt. This is a conversation that Prabhupada had in Tehran, Iran, with Navi Yovana Prabhu. Then they were discussing the old days in New York City when Prabhupada first started this movement in 26th Second Avenue. And Navi Yovana was saying, that was a very bad neighborhood, very low class. And Prabhupada said, we don't mind. We chant Hare Krishna, that's all. He said, that 26th Second Avenue, not very good neighborhood. And Ganagamya says, worst place in the world. Prabhupada said, but I did not know. Mukunda said, this is a good place for a temple. So that's where I went. And Prabhupada said, I was living on the Bowery, and on my doorstep the bums were lying in urine and wine bottles and everything. But still, they were so respectful. When I come, they said, yes, you can enter. Please, please come. They will usher me in. I had no quarrel with them, and they welcomed me. They opened the door. They said, please, go in. They knew I am harmless. So Prabhupada's conclusion, if you remain on the spiritual platform, material condition cannot hamper you, even if you're preaching on the Bowery, even if you're preaching anywhere. So then the next qualification, shuddha, purified. Any verses on purification? How a devotee is purified. So many verses. Chant Hare Krishna, I know. By remembering Krishna. Yes, yes. Oma pavita pavitro va sarva vastam kato piva ve punarikaksham sabayat yantara shichi. So these are verses. Another verse. Any other verses? Shuchi. Muchi hoy, shuchi hoy. Jari. Krishna bhaje. Yes, if you worship Krishna. And also if you take shelter of a pure devotee, Prabha Vishnave Namaha, as Kirata Hunanda Pulinda Pukasha. You take shelter of a pure devotee, yes. Punyakarma, Yesham Tantaram Papam, 728. Janana Punyakarmanam. We have to be free from dualities of delusion, free from sinful activities. Then we can do devotional service with determination. Jitavrata. Chetadarpanamarjanam. Bhavamaha devagyavarpanam. Yes. So there are so many verses about how the devotee is purified. So Prabhupada says, he says right in the purport, as for purification, no one can be more pure than devotees. Anyone who once utters the name of Vishnu immediately becomes purified inside and out. Yasmarit pundarikaksham. That's where you got it from. Since a devotee constantly chants the Hare Krishna mantra, no contamination of the material world can touch him. He is therefore actually purified. Muchi hoi shuchi hoi jadi Krishna bhaje. It is said even a cobbler or person born in the family of a cobbler can be elevated to the position of a Brahman, shuchi, if he takes to Krishna consciousness. Any person who is purely Krishna conscious and who engages in chanting Hare Krishna mantra is the purest in the whole universe. Amazing. Purest in the universe, devotees. Verse 38. Ityutana padaputro juva krishna parayana abhuchayanam vakanam churamanyadipamala. In this way, the fully Krishna conscious Dhruva Maharaj, exalted son of Maharaj Uttanapa, attained the summit of the three statuses of planetary systems. Purport. The exact Sanskrit terminology for Krishna consciousness is here mentioned. Krishna Parayana. So that's another meaning I didn't write down. Another meaning of Krishna Parayana is Krishna consciousness. Another meaning of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Parayana. Prayana means going forward. Anyone who is going forward to the goal of Krishna is called Krishna Parayana, or fully Krishna conscious. Example of Dhruva Maharaj indicates that every Krishna conscious person can expect to reach the topmost summit of all three planetary systems within the universe. A Krishna conscious person can occupy an exalted position beyond the imagination of any ambitious materialist. So I have some of the meanings of Parayana up on the flip chart and also on the board. Different meanings. I looked up in folio. You know, all these different meanings of Krishna Parayana, Vasudeva Parayana, Narayana Parayana. There are many famous verses that have these words Parayana in. So 1.4.12, Vasudeva Parayana, this is description of Shukadeva Goswami. This reference up here, 1.4.12, he's attached to Vasudev, devotee of Vasudev. Then 6.1.15, there's a famous verse. Kichit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana akantun dandikarsyena niharam ivalaskara. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as a sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. So here in this case, parayana means completely attached to the service of Vasudev. So you can flip the flip chart. Then 6.1.17. Sarichino hiyam loke pantakshimo kutobaya sushila sarva yatra narayana parayana. The path followed by pure devotees who are well behaved and fully endowed with the best qualifications is certainly the most auspicious path in this material world. It is free from fear, and it is authorized by the Shastras. So in this case, Narayana Parayana, those who have taken the path of Narayana. And in 6.14.5, a famous verse again. Muktanam abhisintanam Narayanam Parayana Sudurlava Prashantatma Kati Shapi Mahamune. O great sage, Among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. So here, Narayana Purayana, one who has concluded that Narayana is the Supreme. And there's a purport, this is to this verse, and in the purport, Prabhupada quotes Srila Madhvacharya, and he quotes from Tantra Bhagavata. I won't read the Sanskrit, but in Tantra Bhagavata it says there are 90 million demigods and 70 million sages who are all called Narayanayana, devotees of Lord Narayan. Among them, only a few are called Narayana Parayana. So this Narayana Parayana devotee is very, very rare. It's not ordinary. There's 90 million demigods and 70 million sages, and very few of them are Narayana Parayana. Very elevated position. Another quote from this Bhagavat, Tantra Bhagavat. The difference between the Siddhas and Narayana Parayanas is that direct devotees are called Narayana Parayanas, whereas those who perform various types of mystic yoga are called Siddhas. So these are the different references of Narayana Parayana. Now the next one is from Vishnu Sahasranam in reference to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Suvarna varna he mango varanga shandana kri silas kvichama shanta nishta shanti parayana. Lord Gaurisundar has a golden complexion. Indeed, his entire body, which is very nicely constituted, is like molten gold. Sandalwood pulp is smeared all over his body. He will take the fourth order of spiritual life, sannyas, and will be very much self-controlled. He'll be distinguished from Mayavad sannyasis in that he will be fixed in devotional service and spread the Sankirtan movement. So here, Nishta Shanti Parayana, always in the ecstatic mood of devotional service. Now in Bhagavad Gita, also, there are some references to Parayana, Mat Parayana. Does anybody know? What's that? Mrityu Shuti Parayana. What's that? 1326. Oh, yes. Yes. Those who cannot take the path of jnana or karma or yoga, but simply hear from authorities, they can transcend the path of birth and death. Mrityu Shuti Parayana. By hearing, Shuti Parayana. You have something, Adikush? No. I have another verse. It's a little famous, it's not that famous, from Bhagavad Gita. It is Manmana. Manmana bhavamad bhakto vidyaji mam namaskuru mami vasi yuktai vam atmanam matparayana. 9:34. Gaze your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So absorbed in me, matparayana, devoted to me, Krishna says. So these are all the unlimited, these are some of the unlimited meanings of Krishna Parayana. Devoted to Krishna. So verse 39, Saint Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, descendant of Kuru, as a herd of bulls circumambulates the central pole on their right side, all the luminaries within the universal sky unceasingly circumambulate the abode of Dhruva Maharaj with great force and speed. Did anybody notice this at nighttime, how this happens? If you go to the planetarium in the west, then you can see all the planets are moving, all the stars are moving very quickly. In 1 hour, they have the whole night sky moving. And they're all moving around the North Pole. The North Pole is the only star that doesn't move. The North Pole. So Prabhupada in this purport quotes from Brahma Samhita about the sun. Yachaksharesha samita sakala graha namraja samasta sura murti nishesha teja yasya dhyasamati samgita kala chakra govinda madhikarishantamaham vachami. I worship Govinda, who is the original person, under whose order his sun, which is the king of all planets, assumes immense power and heat. The sun represents the eye of the Lord and traverses its orbit in obedience to his order. So what's the significance of Prabhupada quoting this verse? Why is he quoting the verse about the sun from Brahma Samhita? Mahindra Puri. Yes. All these planets have orbits. Only Dhruvaloka has no orbit. All these planets, they're orbiting Dhruvaloka. And this is according to the Kala Chakra. The sun is following the order of the Kala Chakra. The sun is under the control of time, and time is under the control of Krishna. So this is the situation in this material world. All we may think that the other planets are so great, but they are all circumambling. They are just like bulls with a ring through the nose. The sun, the moon, all these planets. You think, oh, heavenly planets, very nice. But they're just like bulls with a ring through the nose, going in their orbits. 40. After observing glories of Dhruva Maharaj, the great sage Narada, playing his veena, went to the sacrificial arena of the Prachetas and very happily chanted the following three verses. So Prabhupada says, the great sage Narada was a spiritual master of Dhruva Maharaj. Certainly, he was very glad to see Dhruva's glories. As a father is very happy to see the son's advancement in every respect, so the spiritual master is very happy to observe the ascendancy of his disciple. There's one prayer we sing to the spiritual master. It says, where the spiritual master is happy to see the disciple doing something. Yeah. Chatur Vidashi Bhagavat Prasad. Yes. Eating Bhagavat Prasad pleases the spiritual master and he sees the devotees. Tamil proverb. Mm-hmm. When the mother sees the son is glorified, she gets more happiness than when she first gave birth to the child. Okay? Yes, this is true. This is not only spiritually, but materially also. The father likes to see the son more successful than himself. Yes. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Dhruva seems to be before the Prachetas. So in this case, you have to throw out your concept of time. After this, certainly the Prachetas came after Dhruva Maharaj, but how much after? Chakshushamanam. So after Dhruva Maharaj, sounds like he went immediately, but who knows? Who knows when he went there? Prachetas, according to they're in the line of Dhruva Maharaj, but way after. So, certainly it was not before. It was after. Because they're in his line. They're glorified. Dhruva Maharaj is their ancestor, his forefather. So they'll be very happy to hear about Dhruva Maharaj. You'll see after this chapter comes descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, then it comes to Prithu, and then Prachetas, Prachinabarhi, Prachetas. They're all in the same line. So of course, they'll also be happy, just like Narada is happy, so I'm sure the descendants will also be happy. Why not? But you know, whenever the kings do great sacrifices, then part of the whole thing is that the sages come and sometimes they'll speak Mahabharata, sometimes they'll speak different things during the sacrifice. Yes? Right. He's going to discuss this. So what are the verses, the very verses that Narada Muni sang? Verse 41. Nunam sunite patite patayas tapa prabhavasya sutasya tam gatim tishvapya payam napiveta parina naiva vivantum bhavavantikim vipa. The great sage Narada said, simply by the influence of his spiritual advancement and powerful austerity, Dhruva Maharaj, the son of Suniti, who was devoted to her husband, acquired an exalted position not possible to attain even for the so-called Vedantas, or strict followers of the Vedic principles, not to speak of ordinary human beings. So he's glorifying the exalted position of Dhruva Maharaj. Although he was not a Vedantist, he did not study Vedanta. He went to a higher position than the Vedantists go to. And Prabhupada says that in the purport. In this verse, the word Vedavadina is very significant. Generally, a person who strictly follows the Vedic principles is called Vedavadi. There are also so-called Vedantists who advertise themselves as followers of Vedanta philosophy, but who misinterpret Vedanta. Expression Vedavadarata is found in Bhagavad Gita, referring to persons who are attached to the Vedas without understanding the purport of the Vedas. So what's the verse? Yes. Yamimam pushpitam vacha bhavaranti Vedavadarata parta nanyarastitivadina. That they don't understand. They study Vedas, but they misinterpret. So such persons may go on talking about the Vedas or may execute austerities in their own way, but it is not possible for them to attain to such an exalted position as Dhruva Maharaj. But sometimes Dr. Patil would discuss with Srila Prabhupada and he would say, I understand Gita in my own way. I have my own way to understand Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada said, yes. You're Muta. He says, why are you calling me Muta? No, you don't surrender to Krishna. You study Gita, but you don't surrender. So Krishna says, if you don't surrender, you're Muta. So this is the problem. They study Vedanta, but they don't surrender to Krishna. So they cannot get out of this material world. As far as ordinary kings are concerned, it is not at all possible. The specific mention of kings is significant because formerly kings were also Rajarshis, for the kings were as good as great sages. Dhruva Maharaj was a king, and at the same time, he was as learned as a great sage. But without devotional service, neither a great king, Kshatriya, nor a great Brahmin, strictly adhering to the Vedic principles, can be elevated to the exalted position attained by Dhruva Maharaj. What does Bhagavatam say about that? Very early in the Bhagavatam. Shama eva hi kevalam, tarama sanastita punsa, vishvaksena katasuya, notpadaya tiriritim. Shama eva hi kevalam. It's a waste of time, all their discussions. So, how to be elevated to such a position of devotional service? It is said by King Rahugana, I believe. Maybe. This is said by Jatabharat. That the perfectional stage of devotional service, the Paramahansa stage, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. Not by tapasya, not by studying the Vedas, not by sannyas, not by grihast, not by yoga, chanting Vedic hymns, performance of sacrifices, penances, can you attain only by the dust of lotus feet of the devotees. So here we are in Vrindavan. We have a very special benediction here that Vrindavan is under the control of Srimati Radharani. So Srila Prabhupada has often in his purports, he says that we should try to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani and very easily we can go back to Godhead. So this is our good fortune to be here in Vrindavan, where we can see Radha's name on every tree. So in verse 42, Narada continues. Yapanchavasho gurudaravakshe inena yata vidayena duyata panamaradesha karochitam babam jigayata bhakta gunai parachitam. The great sage Narada continued, just see how Dhruva Maharaj, aggrieved at the harsh words of his stepmother, went to the forest at the age of only 5 years and under my direction underwent austerity. Okay. It's from Srimati Radharani. From her hand. Okay. Well, I guess we got the mercy of Srimati Radharani. What's that? Immediate. Yeah, it's from the hand of Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. What can I say? Srimati Radharani Kija. Radisham. Anyway, there was one purport we were reading before that very easily we can get the mercy through Srimati Radharani. Because Krishna belongs to Srimati Radharani, Krishna is hers. So therefore we should beg Radharani, please tell your Krishna about me. So we can also pray like that. So here, we're in verse 42. Just see how Dhruva Maharaj, aggrieved at the harsh words of his stepmother, went to the forest at the age of only 5 years and under my direction underwent austerity. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unconquerable, Dhruva Maharaj defeated him with the specific qualifications possessed by the Lord's devotees. So what's the qualification for conquering Krishna? Bhakti, love, prema. Yes. Shudigatam anobhir. Yes. Stanestita, shudigatam anobhir. Yapraisho. Something. Jitatito. Yes. 10, 14, 30. Okay, that Lord Brahma says, you can conquer Krishna who is ajita simply by hearing about him, just hearing, shuti katam, the path of hearing, very easy to conquer Krishna. So that's what we're trying to do. Prabhupada says, the Supreme Godhead is unconquerable. No one can conquer the Lord, but he voluntarily accepts subordination to the devotional qualities of his devotees. For example, this is the purport. Lord Krishna accepted subordination to the control of Mother Yashoda because she was a great devotee. Lord likes to be under the control of his devotees. Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, everyone comes before the Lord and offers him exalted prayers. But the Lord does not feel as pleased when offered such prayers as he does when a devotee out of pure love chastises him as a subordinate. So I'll sing those prayers from, this is Adi 4:17 and onwards. Aishwarya gyanit sarv jagat mishita, aishwarya shitila preme nahi morapita. All the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. Amare ishwar mane abnakehin, tara preme vash amina hoi adhin. If one regards me as a supreme lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. Mora putta mora shaka mora prana pati eva veje more kore shura pati apnake boramane amare shamahin shebave hoy amitaharathin. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Matta more putta bhave koren banban adina gyane kore lalan palan. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. Shaka shuta shakai kore skandhe arohan tumi kon borolok tumi amisham. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. Priya jali man kori kore patsan vedastute hote hore shemoraman. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. So that is Krishna. He likes to be controlled by his devotees. He doesn't like to, he's not independent. He says, I have no independence. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was only 5 years old. He went to the forest and he got the mercy of Krishna. He attracted Krishna. So Prabhupada says, this devotional service was of course executed under the direction of a great sage, Narada. This is the first principle of devotional service, Adau Gurva Shayam. So he followed the instructions and he was successful. What are other examples of Krishna being controlled by his devotees? Yes, Mayurapuri. So Yudhisthira controlled Krishna. Krishna was ready to leave for Dwaraka. Kunti came and prayed to him. Uttara came first for his protection, then Kunti came. And finally Yudhisthira came, and Yudhisthira actually stopped Krishna by his prema. The verse is 1:845. So by his prema, he controlled Krishna. Krishna changed his mind. He changed his decision. Who can change Krishna's decision and change Krishna's plan? Who can change his mind? Only the prema of the devotees. So Yudhisthira had that prema. He could do it. Any other example of controlling Krishna? Ambarish Maharaj. Right. Yes, Lord Vishnu said, when Durvasa went, he says, I am not independent. I cannot help you. I cannot take this. But it's your Sudarshan, you know, it's your Sudarshan. Surely you can do something. He said, no, I have no independence. I'm under the control of my devotee. You have to go to Ambarish and beg forgiveness. Then only you can get free. So these are the examples. Krishna controls his, controlled by his devotees. Yes. Who? The wife of Vidura. Oh, Vidura, wasn't it? Here is wife. The wife was the wife? Okay. Some people say it's Yudhisthira, some people say it's Vidura, some people say it's the wife of Vidura. But anyway, the idea is the same. She offered the peels to Krishna, and he relished those peels more than the feast of Duryodhan. He wouldn't go to Duryodhan's feast, but instead he had a feast on banana peels and throwing away the bananas. So this is how Krishna is controlled by his devotee. This is in Chaitanya Lila. Where is the example? Similar. There are similar examples in Chaitanya Lila. Yes. Yes, he was stopped from going to Vrindavan. And finally Nishingananda Brahmachari saw that he was stopped. And also he was taking the prasad with Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das was eating the rejected remnants of Mahaprasad. And Lord Chaitanya came and he was taking those remnants. He said, oh, this is much better than anything else I've tasted, these remnants. So these are the examples how Krishna is controlled and attracted by his devotees. So the last verse, the conclusion, and you know what the conclusion is going to be. This life, we must go back to Godhead. Verse 43. Yachatrabanto bhuvitasya vidurkam anva vrikshetapi varshapurkai satpancha varsho yaraho jiratpai prasadya vaikuntam avapatat param. Dhruva Maharaj attained an exalted position at the age of only 5 or 6 years after undergoing austerity for 6 months. Alas, a great kshatriya cannot achieve such a position even after undergoing austerities for many, many years. So, what is the lesson we learn from the... There are many lessons, actually. What do we learn from the life of Dhruva Maharaj? What are some lessons? Mayunapuri? Nothing can stop us from getting the mercy of Krishna. It's ahituki, apratyata. Yes. Even if our motive is not pure, we can still go back to Godhead. We can still get Krishna prema, even if we have a bad motive. Yes, in the beginning.
Everybody qualified to get Krishna's mercy.
Everyone has a right and qualified to get Krishna's mercy. Everyone has a right to get Krishna's mercy. Yes. Yes. Faith in the words of the Guru can get you everything. Because Dhruva had faith in the words of Narada Muni. Yes, Sankirtan. What's that?
lesson is that we're not Dhruva.
The lesson is that we're not Dhruva. Yes, that was another one.
We can draw from that. That's a whole other conception.
Okay, we're not Dhruva. Yes, we're not impersonalists. If you think you're Dhruva, then you're an impersonalist.
No, I'm saying the austerity.
Yes. Right. We cannot compare it to Dhruva Maharaj. We have our own process. Yes, Bhagavad? We can be inspired by his determination, yes. Yeah, he was forced.
He didn't want to.
Right.
So we should learn from this not to waste time desiring anything else.
Right, we should not waste time desiring anything else. Who else on this side here? Madhavendpuri?
We're not Dhruva.
Yes.
We're
not Dhruva in terms of austerity.
But we have mercy of Srila Prabhupada.
And that balances the scale. Otherwise, we're down here. The qualification is here, but then you add Prabhupada, and then it puts it back up there, puts the scale up. Vanimali. What's that? He's frank with his spiritual master. So Dhruva, we can see honesty. We can learn honesty from Dhruva, Sankirtan.
Yeah, in that sense, also Dhruva's frankness and determination, it applies to us. So we are trying to.
Yes. 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 We should learn the lesson.
He was maintaining material
desires. Yes.
Yeah.
Our process is to give up material desires. Yes. Yeah. And after all, he did give up his material desires in the end. Yeah. In our stage, we should endeavor.
Namabhas.
Yes, we should. We should, with attention, we should consciously give up material desires. Please, yes. Engage me in your service and no more Maya. Madan Gopal, you had something. Mother knows best. Okay, we can learn from this Leela that mother knows best. So all of you should listen to your mothers. Guru Sevanan. Yeah, so just see, despite... Okay, so another lesson is that when Dhruva left home and went to the forest... Then, although he had all this anger and vengeance and so many things in his heart, he left it aside and he did his yoga practice with full concentration. So we should also chant our japa, even though we're angry with this one, we're like remembering this one did something or whatever, I have to do this today. We should focus on our japa. That's a good point. Okay, Adi Purusha.
He achieved in 6 months something that cannot be achieved after many, many years of austerities by others shows that the quality is more important than the quality.
Okay, the fact that he achieved in 6 months what it takes others years to achieve proves that quality is more important than quantity.
It also shows that he had the mercy of Narada Muni.
Okay, another point is he had the mercy of Narada Muni, and we should always see how we have the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. How it is benefiting our lives. 1, 2, 1. Yes. Okay. We should all endeavor to make one pure devotee before we die so that one can bring us back to Godhead. And my son, when he was 4 years old, he was saying, I just want to die and go back to Godhead. I said, no, you can't. Unless you make a pure devotee, you can't go back to Godhead. So then he started preaching to his Christian teacher, make her a devotee so he could go back to Godhead quick. Anyway. Her name was Rose. Yes?
I would completely agree with Sankirtan Prabhu.
Uh-oh.
Material desires.
Well, you can fight after class.
We are
okay, whatever it may be. It may also be his Kshatriya nature that he had determination. But also it's a fact that purity is helps determination. Madhavendpuri?
We shouldn't maintain grudges.
Don't maintain grudges. This is a lesson to be learned. Now, what's it... And that also, there's another important point that Prabhupada made in one purport, a very important point that we should learn from this Leela, One lesson we forgot. No Vaishnava aparat. Suruchi unknowingly offended Dhruva Maharaj, and as a result, she suffered the reaction of Vaishnava aparat. Unknowingly, yes.
Another lesson or something to contemplate is how Arjuna is fulfilling or pursuing his Varnashram duty.
Arjuna.
Whereas Dhruva situation is relinquishing that Varnashram duty, at least initially.
Acha.
Until he meets the Lord, and then he's grateful.
Okay, an interesting thing that you found was that Arjuna is performing his duty, but Dhruva had gave up his duty.
Yeah. Now we can ask.
Of course, at the age of 5, I don't know if he actually had a duty.
What lesson is that for us? Should we, like, Dhruva Maharaj?
Yeah, but he was 5 years old.
Yeah. But should we follow his footsteps, or should we follow the footsteps of Krishna telling Arjuna to engage in our Krishna's duty and get purified?
I would say it's quite different circumstance. Dhruva, I mean, he was only 5 years old. He didn't have any duty at that point.
But the question is still the same. What is our case? Should we go like him in a forest and try like that? Or should we try to find out our
anyway.
And then get engaged?
Okay, 1 minute. We have to read the purports of Srila Prabhupada to see what is our duty. So today, in almost every purport, Prabhupada said, we should preach. What is the purpose of ISKCON, Association of Devotees? So many purports today. We heard, what is our duty? I'll read this purport at the end of this purport too. Prabhupada gives us our duty. The lesson from the life of Dhruva Maharaj is that if one likes, one can attain Vaikuntha Loka in one life without waiting for many other lives. My Guru Maharaj, Shishimad, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada used to say that every one of his disciples could attain Vaikuntha Loka in this life without waiting for another life to execute devotional service. One simply has to become as serious and sincere as Dhruva Maharaj. Then it is quite possible to attain Vaikuntha Loka and go back home, back to Godhead, in one life. So Prabhupada said this so many times in the Dhruva Leela. This life, you should go back to Godhead. And it's possible. That's the part that we should have this determination that in this life, I will go back to Godhead. I will act in such a way, in this life, I will not come back to this material world. Prabhupada used to say this, and we heard this so many times in these purports. Don't wait for another life, finish in this life. So this is the lesson that Prabhupada gives us here at the end of this purport. Okay? Two points. Okay, so one point, it's a very nice point, that if you study Dhruva's life from beginning to end, he was always helped, first by his mother, then the sages. Manu came to preach to him, Narada Muni. So many people were there in his life to help him, to direct him in the right direction. He got so much help. Next point. Okay, so next point was that we're insignificant, but still we have a concession by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this was in that purport of 4872, that we have a special concession, so therefore we should take full advantage of that and don't mess it up. Vanamali.
Even though we have material, we say, try to fulfill the honesty day.
Okay.
Yes.
Actually, you bring up that nice point about honesty, that Dhruva Maharaj prayed, he asked to Narada Muni, if there is an honest way I can fulfill my desire, please tell it to me. Yes. Am I being quick?
10th chapter, we see that.
10th chapter.
When promoting victory.
Okay, another lesson is that no matter how many impediments are there, devotees come out victorious. Just like the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra, the other side had so many great generals and many more soldiers, but Arjuna came out victorious. Juva Nitya Mama. Last verse in Bhagavad Gita. Yatra Yogeshara Krishna yatta parta tanuitara tatta shivijaya bhutir. Krishna's opinion. No, that was Sanjaya's. Sanjaya said that. Sanjaya, because Dhritarashtra asked, well, you know, what happened? He says, in my opinion, victory will be on the side of Krishna and Arjuna. That is my opinion. Yes, anybody else have anything here to say?
Okay, to bring that up. Rupchandra Guru says the reaction can depend on Krishna's mercy and come to Krishna's mercy, provided from our side we bring up our part, which he brings in 3 points.
Okay, so we can depend on Krishna's mercy, but we have to do our part also. 3 points. We can count on it. Right. And does nonsense. Act in the mode of goodness.
Follow
instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Always be guided by Brahmanas or Guru. Guru and Brahmana. Okay, so mode of goodness at least. Then we can count on the mercy of Krishna. Of course, Juva, can we say he was in the mode of goodness? Okay. So we know. Yes, he wanted the kingdom. But for us, we should be in the mode of goodness. We shouldn't go to Krishna like Juva. Okay. But if there's no other... But even if we're in the lower modes, we should still not... let that stop us from going to Krishna. Because it may be hard to be in the mode of goodness all the time. Very hard. Yes? Okay, sometimes you may see Krishna's mercy appear in the lives of people who are not in the mode of goodness. Not following. But Krishna is merciful. Well, they must have the mercy of a devotee also. By the mercy. Yeah, they did some service for a pure devotee, so they get the mercy. They do get it. Yeah. Okay, Vanamali? What? We should understand our own. Okay, so this is again, we're coming back to the same point here with Vanamali. As Juva was honest about his position, we should be honest about our position. We should understand our position in the modes of nature. And there are different approaches to that. There are different approaches to being in the modes of nature. We should, of course, try to act on the level of goodness. And that would be more of the madhyam level of devotional service. Yes. Okay, so what happens if you're in the lower modes? How are you going to be honest about your position?
It's hard. It says there that a little acharya can uplift someone from the lower
deep. Yes, yes, a real acharya. Yeah, I remember that purport too.
By the power of vibration coming from the greatest hit, even if
someone is in the lower modes, the acharya can lift him up. That's true. I don't remember where that is. Yeah, Sankirtan. Hippies into happies. Okay, so from Tama into goodness. Yeah, certainly if you compare our previous position, there is quite an influence of the mode of goodness. Getting up early in the morning and eating pure foods and such, so on and so on. Performing austerities. Just living in the association devotee is an austerity. So many austerities. Okay, any last? Okay, again, keep it short. No lectures. Yes, and we are all appreciating this fact because we were all in that position before, or maybe even still. Pure independence of Krishna. Bhakti is independent. 1637. Okay, you cannot corner Bhakti Devi. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Vidyavatu Jivanam, that's knowledge, not bhakti, huh? Well, it must be in there somewhere. Anyway, if you just follow Shikshastakam, somewhere along the line you'll get bhakti. Mama janmani janmanishare bhavatad bhakti rahit kitve. It seems to come on the level after ruchi, after nishta, ruchi. Okay, you two can discuss after class. You can have, yes, Vanamali. We're not attached to goodness. Okay, here's another one. You can also talk to him after class. We're not attached to goodness. We're attached to Guru. Well, if Guru is telling, yes, well, Guru is telling. But, yeah, Krishna is telling, Guru is telling that we should follow the mode of goodness. It is good for us. Madan Gopal, you had some? Yes, Yudhisthira was told by Krishna to tell a lie. And Yudhisthira is definitely in the mode of goodness. But that's only if Krishna tells you. We shouldn't. Or Guru. Yes. So if you want to be sure to get Krishna's mercy, you want to be sure to get Krishna's mercy, so those 3 points. Act in the mode of goodness, and what's the other two? Follow Bhagavad Gita's instructions. Sarvajama Pritaja, Mamaikam Sharanam Raja. And what's the third one? Associate with devotees. Guided by senior devotees. Guru and sadhu. Guru sadhu. Ninth chapter of first canto. Okay, Bhishma. Okay. Yes. Because Prabhupada seems to say that if you just stay in this Krishna conscious movement, automatically you will go back to Godhead. Automatically you become advanced. Automatically. But what does that mean, automatically? What is that? What's behind that, automatically? And what does it mean to be? And what does it mean to be in the Krishna conscious movement? That's also another question. Yeah. Anu Kirtanam. That's which verse? 1, 2, 1, something. Or 11. I think it's 11, yeah? Aitan Nivadimananam. Chitamakatobai. Anu. Okay, so we cannot manufacture our own way, our own path, but we must follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, guru, sadhu, shastra. That's very important. Kirtana we can chant, but anu, following. And that was the process spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Pariksit, that if you chant in this way, then you will be free from fear, fearlessness, akutopayam. Yes. Yes, one is chanting and the other is repeating in unison. Oh, so there's no hearing. So hearing and chanting is going on, not just chanting and chanting. Okay, hearing and chanting. Etan Nivadimana, no? 2.1.11. Fences for chanting, okay. Namavas. Yeah, well, the process, there's different levels of the process. And unless we come to the Madhyama level, it may take many births. The Madhyama level is the conscious level of trying to give up offenses. Namavas. Cooking with wet wood will take a long time. Mm-hmm. Real fire is wanting. Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay, we'll stop here. All glories to Shiva Prabhupada.